nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen sweetest of loves, for my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more. Will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. Heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I
sing it to the church
for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit. Oh, let's sing it, church.
Come
flood this place.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
grateful. Grateful, Lord, for what you're doing. God, as we embark on this year, we're expecting. We're hungry. We're just hungry, Lord God. We want your anointing. We want the flow of your Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your direction. We want to see what you're doing. God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our mind, open our ears, Lord, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, every time we gather, doesn't matter what the service is, no matter how many are in this sanctuary, Lord, every time we gather, we want you here. We want you directing the affairs of this church. We want you directing the affairs of our homes, our families, our marriages, our life, our individuality. We want you directing everything, God. We want you in charge. We want you in charge. So, God, we hand it over, Lord. Forgive us when we've tried to do so much with our own lives, and we need to take our hands off our lives and give them to you, Lord. So thank you right now, Lord. We hand it over, Lord, in the beginning of this year, Lord. We hand over our life afresh. Afresh, oh God. We give it to you, Lord. Forgive us for 2016, for holding on to the things that we had, for holding on to the past. But God, we're looking for something new. New vision, new heart, new vision, new fragrance, everything it can be, Lord, but bring something new into our lives. God, just like a flower that would erupt out of the ground, Lord, let there be something that's beautiful that comes from our lives living for you. We thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the service that we are gathered together, Lord. Just embrace us, hold us. Tell us something this morning, Lord, that's just so meaningful to our lives. We know that you speak so often, but we close our ears. But God, open us up so we can hear. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amanda, could you put up on that the one part of the song that says, "Let us experience the glory of your presence"? I was looking at this morning. I said, God, this is almost like a prayer for us this year. You know, let us become more aware of your presence. How many want that? To become more aware of the presence of God. I mean, we like our presence. We know each other, but I want the presence of the Lord. And let us not only become more aware of your presence, but let us experience the glory of your goodness. Experience it. I mean, I don't want to be an onlooker. You know, I've seen over the years so often that people just look on and they just look. I want to experience it. Don't you want to experience something? I mean, it's nice to see something, hear something, and read the Word of God, but I want to experience it. That's what the New Testament Acts is all about. They wanted to experience what God was telling them from the Word of God. Experience it. So this is a good prayer, this part of the song. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Hallelujah. Do you want that this morning? Hallelujah. I trust you do. Amen. It's going to be an exciting year. So good to have Danica in the service. Hallelujah. I was telling her this morning that on Wednesday night, Judy came in here, and I guess she had a text from a few days previously on Danica. And so we thought things had, wow, something just changed, because last I heard that she was in the hospital and she was home. And now we got this message. And so we began to pray. We were just praying for you and praying for the whole family. And it was exciting. Thank God that you are good, but we prayed for you. And it's good to have you here in the service this morning, Danica. It's good to have you all here. Are you looking forward to this year? I always look at a new year as something new is going to happen. Like, you know, it's not going to be the same old, same old, same old, and all that kind of stuff. I want something new. How about you? Every time I come into a new year, I want something new, new to be birthed and new to happen. You know, I've been just praying. I wake up, I breathe, I go to sleep praying. I said, God, fill the house. Fill the house. Fill the house. Bring him in. I know it's hard for the Holy Spirit. We're living in a hard time. People laugh at Jesus. They laugh at us because we believe in Jesus, and they want to stay away from church, they had enough church, they went to Christmas and Easter, so that was enough for them. I mean, people look at that. You know, they, what do you want me to do? I came to a drama. I did this. I did that. They kind of look at all the things they did, but they don't realize the relationship that they can have with Jesus. And it's a hard day that we're living in. So I'm really praying that God would just break down that hard-heartedness, that stiff-necked feeling all around us that, you know, I'm in control of my life and I'll do my destiny and all those things that people want to do. That's the way people are, I guess, outside of Christ. I mean, but we probably remember the day that we were kind of like that too. And thank God that he saved us, opened our eyes and brought us into the realization that we needed a Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen? Go ahead, Amanda. You can put them up. This isn't a robbery. You know, put them up. I mean, putting up the video. It's funny the words we use, isn't it? Yeah. Anybody ever watch that program, Get Smart, many years ago? There was a guy on there who was a robot. I can't remember what his name was. Jaime? And like, you know, the guy, I think his name was Don Adams, was the guy in Get Smart, but he would say things like, you know, our everyday cliche. And the enemy was coming this one time, and Don Adams had to run into this closet with Jaime, this robot type of guy, and the light was on inside the closet, and he said, kill the lights. And so Jaime had a machine gun. So, you know, it's kind of like those are the words we use, eh? We sometimes get stuck in. But anyway, Happy New Year, and I trust that your year is something fantastic. Ron, that your heart would just be revitalized, that 2017 is going to be a fantastic year, you know, and it's going to be a great year. And for all of our families and for all the people in our church, this year in 2017 is going to be not only a happy year, but a blessed new year. Amen? So trust that you enjoy that. Now, for the last 3 weeks, I've been putting this up, and with our attendance down every week, I thought I'd put it up one last time. Is that okay? One last time. Merry Christmas from Pastor Russ and Betty. And you weren't here, you know, December 18th, December 25th, and January 1st. This is for you. And so we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and thank you for all the good wishes and the blessings and the things that you've shared with us and the gifts. It was so beautiful. We really appreciated all that you did for us. It was such a blessing. So on behalf of Betty and myself, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are a body of believers and we love each other. Amen? Praise God. Well, 2017. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. You know, as you're turning there, I just want to tell you that all I can say at the start of this new year is I want to give all the praise to Jesus. It's all I can say. I mean, those are the best words that we can ever utter is all the praise to Jesus and to thank him that for his great love. I mean, the Father loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, and brought us into the family through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I say, thank God. I was reading this neat little devotional. It said, when Christ came as a human being and thinking back of Christmas and lived here on earth among us, he became, number one, the perfect teacher. In other words, we look at Jesus and see how God thinks through Jesus, and so we can be exactly like that. And he became the perfect example. You want a role model for how to live every day of your life? Just watch Jesus. Listen to his words. Read the Word of God. Read the Gospels. Go through his life. He became the perfect example. And not only did he become the perfect teacher and the perfect example, he became the perfect sacrifice. Laid down his life for you and I so that through him dying upon the cross, you and I have life. Hallelujah. When Christ was conceived and born, God became a man. He was not part man and part God. He was completely human and completely divine. Christ is the perfect presentation of God in human form. Read Philippians chapter 2 sometime and think about this big word called kenosis. It's called the kenosis theory about how God was put into flesh. Isn't that interesting? Scientific. Miraculous. Hallelujah. So let me give you some Bible today as we are saying goodbye to 2016 and coming into 2017. So here's the scriptures that we want to read. In chapter 14 of Luke, Jesus was invited to the home of the Pharisees. How many know when Jesus is invited to the home of the Pharisees, it's a setup? It's a setup. I mean, they don't want to say, hey, we want to know more about you. We've even thought about opening our hearts and lives. You know, there were occasions for many Pharisees to open up their heart and life. Think of Nicodemus, who opened his heart to Jesus and came to him one night and said, you know, nobody can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him. Something special about you. And he wanted to know more about him. He wasn't there to trap him up or to trip him up or anything else. He wanted to know genuinely why, who you are. And so we look at this whole chapter, and it's interesting because the Pharisees are setting Jesus up. They want to find out. I mean, they go in there right at the first six verses, you can see that they're trying to trap him up. So anyway, as Jesus is seeing these Pharisees sit around in this home that he's been invited to, he begins to open up this parable to them. And I want to pick it up at verse 7 because this is where Jesus brings it out. And so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. Verse 10, but when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you may have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Father, thank you for your word. Let the anointing, as we read this word, flow through the word, flow through me. God, I thank you. 2017, it's yours, God. It's your year, your church, your people, your time, Lord God. And we know your coming is so soon. So let us all be prepared, ready for that trumpet of God to sound, to rise with you in the air. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So an interesting parable that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. And I caught particular attention to the attention to this one verse. In verse 14, chapter 14, verse 10, it says, friend, go up higher. Interesting place. The New Living Translation, I don't know about you, but I like going to different translations. The New Living Translation says, friend, we have a better place for you. Or the NIV, friend, move up to a better place. Or the Living Bible says, friend, we have a better place than this for you. How many like that? Sounds good to start the new year. You know, I like the New King James Version here because it says go up higher. Which, according to other translations, is a better place for us. Remember when John the Baptist was introducing Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God? And he realized that once Jesus was on the scene now, once Jesus was coming into the fullness of the ministry, that John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. In other words, I've got to step out of the way and let the flow of the Holy Spirit happen through this Savior of the Lord. And I believe that John the Baptist found a much preferred place, a better place in his spiritual walk, which should entice us all to find out. Do you want to go higher today? Friend, go up higher. Do you want to go higher today? I'd kind of like to go higher. See, I like John the Baptist. When we decrease, he increases. Then we are in a sense, when you think of that scripture, we're going higher. And the Lord Jesus. In fact, the more we decrease, the higher we go in Jesus. The more we decrease, the higher we will go in Jesus. That's kind of neat for this year, isn't it? So last year, I told you, dig, dig, dig a little deeper. And so we kind of took that for the whole year. Now, I thought I would bring my shovel with me, and I trust that you were digging all year long, because the more you dug, the more you found Jesus. The more, wow, I need more hope. Dig into that hope for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need more faith. Dig into that faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need more of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Just dig into the Word of God and dig into those things that God has in store for us. Just dig, 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 dig in there. Just like the cathedral sang that song, dig, dig, dig a little deeper. So I thought to myself, that's kind of neat. Last year we were digging a little deeper. What could we possibly do this year that could kind of top that and bring us to a different place in our life? Well, I thought of something else. Somebody said, what's this doing up here, Pastor? I said, well, maybe we're going to high school. But anyway, this is kind of a neat contraption. It's good for when you are short and you can't reach something, or it's good for when you want to climb up to a higher cupboard or to paint or something else. It takes you up to a place where you can accomplish that of which you want to accomplish, which under normal circumstances by standing here, you cannot get there. So you need something to assist you to get to that place. So this year, 2017, say this year, 2017, climb higher. All right, you got it. Dig deeper, 2016, it's gone. If you dug deep, you're ready to go higher now. Amen? If you dug deep last year, I mean, if you didn't, then you're probably just right where you were. But if you dug deep, you are ready to go higher in the Lord. Can you say amen? Deeper in His love, deeper in His grace. This year, let's be encouraged to increase our intensity of faith, that we begin to go higher in the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything we do in this life, you know, our faith, let it go higher. Our love, let it go higher. Let our words of encouragement be to others. Let it go higher. Let all those things, our commitment in God, let it go higher. Our giving, let it go higher. Amen? Spiritually, financially, emotionally, let everything go higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is a year, like Isaiah says, to fly or soar like the wings of an eagle. To just kind of get up on that wind and go higher and higher and higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we catch glimpses of the desire to go higher through all the kinds of scriptures. And I like when the disciples came to Jesus. And you'll find this in chapter 17 of Luke. But anyway, the apostles, they were watching Jesus, listening for Jesus, and finding the things that Jesus did. And they were going through all these things that Jesus was doing. And all of a sudden, in chapter 17 of Luke, you'll find in verse 5, they looked at Jesus and said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Why would they say that? Because they saw something. Something was going on in their heart that they wanted to do something to increase their faith. So I trust that today that you and I, last year we dug deeper. This year we're going to climb higher. Are you ready? Are you ready to climb higher? So today, 2017, we're going to go higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Friend, go up higher. Friend, we have a better place for you. Friend, move up to a better place. Friend, we have a better place than this for you. Climb higher. You know, as I went through those verses of Scripture in this parable that Jesus says, He said, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place. And I looked at this whole scenario of this parable, and then He comes down to the very place that whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, lifted up higher in their life. Verses 15 to 24, I'm going to hit that at the end of this message today, but there's something special about those verses that are kind of cool that I also saw as I was reading through it. And I won't go into those verses today, but in a few moments I'll draw your attention to just one part of those verses in verses 15 to 24. But I believe, here's what I was feeling as I was preparing for this message.
I believe the position we are in Christ will affect what we do for Christ. Do you believe that? I believe the position we are in Christ will affect what we do in Christ. And I also believe the effect of what we do for Christ is in direct correlation to where we are in Christ. Those are deep things. I know that you're just kind of mulling over that because, you know, you've had too much chocolate and you've eaten too much. The fuller the stomach gets, it starts closing out ears. You know, it comes, you know, up, starts choking out the ears, closing out the eyes. And that's why when a full tummy, you don't want to do anything because everything's closed. Right? Just want to get in that lazy boy chair and be a lazy boy. But as I look at these two thoughts that I just kind of, these are my thoughts on this. If we do not ask Jesus to increase our faith, if we are only content where we are, then there are outcomes of plateauing in our Christian life. There are outcomes. There are consequences to our plateauing in our Christian life. That we will become, have you ever heard the word mediocre? We will become mediocre. We will become complacent. As a matter of fact, if we plateau, we'll even find ourselves happy where we are. That's a sad place to be, isn't it? To be happy. I'm happy. Pastor, don't push me any further. I'm happy where I am right now. I'm content where I am right now. I'm complacent where I am. Don't push me. Don't get me to climb higher because I'm happy where I am. That's not a good way to be, is it? You know, I've often over my walk and in my spiritual days with Jesus, I don't know about you, but I get mad at myself sometimes. I say, God, I need to go deeper. I need to climb higher. I need these things in you, and forgive me. And so I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be happy where I am. How about you? Because if we're happy where we are, then there we shall remain. There we shall stay. There we shall sit. There we shall always be with no desire to do something else in our lives. See, I like when you go into the New Testament because there's a lot of scriptures that allude to this. And it's really neat because the Bible really tells us, and Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Have you ever read that verse? Okay, so if you read it and you say, that's nice, I'm happy reading a scripture like that. Or when you read a scripture like that and you think that he's the one that could take me above all that I ask or think. He's a pretty good guy, this God that we serve and love. He's a pretty good guy to get connected to if he's going to take me above all that I ask or think of in this spiritual walk, according to the power that works in us. And I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship, where we belong, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're here on this earth, but we're waiting for above. How about you? So our citizenship is in heaven. And then I love this, Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Do you think that that's telling us to climb higher? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Praise God. You know, I look at all the stuff happening in our world right now. You know, the shooting down in Fort Lauderdale. Like, you know, I look at all this stuff in our world and people are getting tired, they're getting bored or something like that, and they just said, how can I kill somebody? It's kind of like, you know, the old saying, the devil, idle hands are the devil's workshop. You ever heard that saying? I think people are just sitting around and they're planning and trying to achieve all kinds of crazy things all around the world, and we're just reading the news and finding out how crazy people are without Jesus. I mean, that's what the news is telling us, how crazy this world is. So I believe the only people who are truly happy on earth are those whose hearts are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. I really believe that those who are content and happy and seeking more of God have their citizenship all tied up in heaven. We're not of this world. We're of another world. It's heaven. It's paradise where Jesus is going to take us one day. So as we watch what happens in the world and all around us, and as we stay close to the Word of God, amen, that the people who are truly content are those who constantly realize that the world is not where it's at. This is not where it's at. This is not where I'm going to hang my hat. This is not where I'm going to dwell. Yeah, I've got to go through this one life. I've got to go through all the motions while I'm here in this earth. But my life is planning for another place. How about you? That's where I'm planning for. So many people, they persist in trying to find happiness right here in this world. And they're continually, forever frustrated of this world. They can't find it. I don't know, but I like watching a program called Shark Tank. Have you ever seen that? Shark Tank is where people bring in their inventions, the craziest things that they can bring in. And these five people sit on a panel who are all millionaire, billionaire type of people. And so these people come in and make a plea to these sharks to invest in their product or what they've come up with as in their invention or their idea. If you could just invest in me, then I'll become rich too. And as you watch this, you could just hear. In fact, there's a guy on there called Kevin O'Leary. Now, it's interesting because he's putting out a plea right now to run for in the conservative government. He's a billionaire. He is really an interesting guy. If you've ever seen this reality TV show called Shark Tank, he says, "All I want to do is make money, 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 money." Have you ever seen that? You know, we were watching it there the other day, and he said, you know, he was looking at this person that came in with their invention, and he's sitting there and says, "All my money's kind of gathered around my legs. They're holding on to my pants, and they don't want to go anywhere unless they see that they're going to make some more of me." I thought, man, every joke, everything that comes out of his mouth is about money. And he thinks he's got the most content life. He's got the happiest life and everything else. You know, I just don't get it, you know, because everybody of this world, they continually think that they're going to find happiness here. Money is not going to do it. All the things that are in this world are not going to do it. You'll be continually frustrated. The possessions that people purchased are never quite what they were supposed to be, or they wear out, or they become like dinosaurs in the technology realm or whatever. The relationships that people form in this world are never satisfying enough. They break up. They break this. They break that. The dreams they pursue are never as fulfilling as they hope they would be. People are just rotten in despair all around us because they place their hopes, they tie their anchor into this world. That's why they're continually frustrated. And even though we do business while here in the flesh, we should never be entrapped by all the glitter, the glamour, the gold from this planet Earth. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Over there in heaven, he paves the streets with gold, not pavement. Hallelujah. You know, nothing will ever be quite right until we realize, hey, it's not about what's down here. It's all about what's up there. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. It's all about Jesus and eternity. If we want to go higher and walk in Christ, listen to the Word of God, hear the voice of the Spirit through the Word, and Paul gave us direction in those verses in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. So clear. The Word encourages us to set our hearts on things above. Set our hearts on things above. Set our hearts on things above. I want to get up there. How about you? Where do you want me to go? Right through the ceiling? That's what you're hoping, right? See, people are bogged down. You can almost get the picture of people when they get bogged down and tied into this earth. Their stomachs are in knots. You know, and if you look at their face, their eyebrows, you ever seen those eyebrows that get furled and gnarled? And you know, they just kind of look because, you know, it's not what I thought it would be, or it didn't do what I thought it would do, and they're kind of all kind of gnarled and stomach upset and everything else, and their hearts are breaking because they're taking life for this world too seriously. Do I take life seriously, Betty? Everything's a joke. She says, "You never take anything seriously." I says, "Because I'm having fun. I'm having fun. Amen? I'm having fun while I'm here. Like, walk around if you want with gnarled eyebrows. What are they doing over there? Be mad at everything. I don't care, but I'm just coming through life, and I just have a blast. Amen? I mean, that's what life is all about. Enjoy it while you're here. But I'm just preparing the joy down here because the joy of the Lord is my strength here. I'm preparing for the joy of the Lord up there. Can you imagine if somebody's all mad and gnarled and everything else down here, what they're going to look like in heaven? Can you get a picture of that, eh? Wow. Set your heart on things above. It's a central message of the gospel, not only Paul's, but throughout all of the scripture. Live for the heaven that you'll love and enjoy for eternity. Eternity. Amen? So in thinking of Luke chapter 17, I want to take you through a few things in this neat parable that Jesus talks about. Because, you know, I started thinking about, you know, I could really give you a three-point sermon here today. I could kind of list you up with all kinds of little tidbits and things that would really give you of interest on this January 8th of 2017. 2014, I was thinking of 14 up there. But I want to give you just this one thing, because this is what Jesus is really reflecting on here. This is the bottom line as you read this parable, as you go through this parable. I think that Jesus is saying to us what we should do or what we shouldn't do as we go through this parable. Or if we as Christians, as spiritual people, we could look and listen to this parable that Jesus says, what ways will take me lower and what ways will take me higher in Christ? So as you read this parable, think about that. First, understand that we should be living for that one day. I don't know about you, but I live close to the railroad track up there. I don't know if you get the whistle, like it's sometimes really loud. You know, summertime when you got the windows open and we can even sometimes feel like the rumble. You know, I don't know if you guys can, but it's, you know, the heavier trains and all that. But every time I hear that whistle, you know, in the dead of night, 3 o'clock in the morning, what does it make me think of? Is that it? I'm getting ready. Every time I hear those whistles, I mean, I'm living for that one day. I'm living for that day that either I depart here by way of cancer, disease, heart attack, stop breathing, or something else I do here in the flesh, or the trumpet of God sounds and I will be caught up with Him forever in the air and be with Him. I'm living for that one day, that one moment where I will be in the presence of my God, my Savior, my Lord, the one who died upon a cross for me to be with Him for eternity. I'm living for that one day. That one day. That one day. I'm living for it. I don't know about you, but a lot of people are caught up for all kinds of other days, but I'm living for that one day. I can read those words, and when Jesus was on the cross and those two criminals were on either side of them, and the one laughed at Him and kind of mocked Him, but the other one said, you know, you don't deserve to be here. And Jesus said those words for one day. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow, I can hardly wait for those words to be pronounced over you and I as we leave this world and go to paradise and be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said some real powerful words. But He said this, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever's our fancy, whatever's got everything going in here, whatever entraps us, whatever keeps us going, whatever makes us tick, that's where our heart is. That's where we embrace. That's what we hold on to. And Luke chapter 14 begins with this parable that Jesus noticed something about people. Isn't that interesting when you read verse 7? Like the Pharisees invited Jesus over to sit down and say, we're going to watch you. We're going to trap you here somehow. And oh, is it lawful to do that on a Sabbath? It says in the first few verses there, but the man being healed of dropsy. Should you be doing that on a Sabbath, Jesus? And so they're kind of going over all these things about what he should or shouldn't do. And so Jesus in verse 7, he noted something about them. He noted something in this parable that's really interesting. So he notices that. Isn't that kind of cool? Because this tells us that God sees everything that's going on. He's in control. He's watching you and I. He notices what we do. He notices how we do it.
Do you ever do things? I know you do the right thing, but do you grumble doing the right thing? He notices. You know, our walk in life, what we do, I really think is a big deal to Jesus. He's watching Cornwall Pentecostal Church right now. He's watching what's happening here in this church. He thinks this is a big deal. I mean, you guys are shining for Jesus, and he's going to walk with us. He's watching us. But here's what Jesus noticed here in this parable, that when people came to this wedding feast, they all had their eyes and their hearts and their focus on, where's the big seat? Where's the elevated place? Where's the table of honor? So when they come in there, they weren't, oh, how you doing there, Al? That's nice to see you again. You know, Stephanie, it's nice to have you back. I'm glad Danica's back here at church and all that. Never even look at you. Their heart is on something else. They're kind of peeking over your shoulder, looking for where that seat is, that table is, where that place of honor is. Jesus noticed that. We don't ever do stuff like that, do we? He knows where our heart is. He knows what's going on. They looked at the best seats. They had their eyes on it. They had their heart on it. They ran for the best seats in the house, Jesus tells us. In fact, they couldn't wait to get to the head table. They all wanted to sit next to the upper class, the higher ups. You know, if you sit with people who are higher ups, if you sit with the rich, maybe you'll become rich. It's kind of a philosophy, isn't it? You know, and all these, you know, wealth books, 10 Steps on How to Become a Millionaire. If I just read that book, I'll be a millionaire. And people grab all this stuff. I mean, you want to become a millionaire in spirituality? Billionaire, trillionaire, gazillionaire, whatever you want to call it. This is where you dig in deep, but then you climb higher in. Amen? You want me to go higher, don't you? Hallelujah. Verse 7, Jesus noticed how they chose those best places. Interesting. Is that human nature or what? I mean, the word translated here, noted by Jesus or marked by Jesus in some translations, it's only used 5 times in the New Testament. It means literally give attention to. Jesus was giving attention to what they were doing. He was looking at how they were doing it, giving all his attention. And the Pharisees invited Christ to the feast for no other reason, as I said, just to trip him up. And this tells us that God sees everything about us, what we're going through. And then Jesus referred to them in Matthew chapter 6. I love the way Jesus talks about the Pharisees. You know, it talks to our nature. It talks to the things that are happening in our world. Talks to our spirituality. Talks to the way that we conduct our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about our walk. Jesus always says the things that we should or shouldn't do. Then he goes into Matthew chapter 6 and he said, you know, when you're going to give a charitable deed, don't do it like the Pharisees. They come in there and say, oh, I'd like to do a charitable deed. Can anybody hear me? I want to do a charitable deed. Now watch this. And they'll try to get all the attention to them. And Jesus said, I want to let you know, they got their reward. But when you do something, do it hush, hush. Don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. Do something secretly. Bless somebody. I used to like, you know, many years ago, they used to call it the Pentecostal handshake. You ever see that? The Pentecostal handshake. Don't hear much of it anymore, but the Pentecostal handshake was somebody came into church and they had a real heart for somebody else that they were going through something. And they'd pull out a $20 bill or a $50 bill and put it right in the palm of their hand. And they walk over to the person and say, hi, how you doing? Give them a Pentecostal handshake. You'd feel that in your hand and you pull it away. And you look at them and say, thank you so much. I needed that. And you walk away. And only 2 people knew about that Pentecostal handshake in that church. Would to God that we get back to stuff like that again in our flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we just do stuff like that for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, and then he talked about the Pharisees. You know, he says, when they pray, don't do like they pray, because they love to stand on the street corners and shout it out and use words of repetition. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. I am praying. So they get it across. And they do it because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 that they may be seen by men
and then they get their reward, so he says. Jesus also said, when you pray, go into your closet, pray in private, and do not be like those who pray out loud, use repetition and many words, they get what they wanted. So what should we do or shouldn't do when we come to this parable is really what Jesus is trying to say to us. Now, this is a complete change from what the drive of humanity is, because humanity comes into that wedding feast and they want the best seats. Human nature wants to be first, wants the best place at everything. I mean, just watch politicians. They want the best seat. They want higher up. And so they maneuver. They will step on toes to get into the spotlight. Even over the years, I've watched, you know, Pastor Bert Lira. When it came time for the board members to be nominated or voted on, I watched, and Betty and I used to comment on this because, you know, this person would never sit and talk with Pastor Bert Lira. But all of a sudden, they're home and say, oh, Pastor, it's really nice, you know, really good to see you today. How you doing? They pat him on the back, and you know, another few weeks would be the nominations for the going on to the board and all that. And so they're kind of, you know, hi, Pastor, you know, it's really good to see you. And I thought, man, this is crazy. Doing that to, you know, we call it sucking up to kind of get to the place where you want to be. You know, even preachers over the years, and I've heard preachers say, you know, I'm just using this church as a stepping stone because I want to get into the big church. Wow. Whatever happened to the anointing and leading of the Holy Spirit? You know, I'm so grateful to be here in Cornwall Pentecostal Church. So grateful to be your pastor. This is not being used to go anywhere else, but this is being used here. God, use me to bring the glory of God, bring people in, disciple them, let them find Jesus. Let us be a body, a family, and do all the things that we can do as a family, Cornwall Pentecostal Church. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm not trying to see anything else. I'm looking right here as your pastor. This is where my heart is, right here in Cornwall Pentecostal Church. I find there's too many things of looking over shoulders. Life seems to be a pushing and a shoving and get out of my way to get where I want to be at the checkout counters and stores and everything else. I mean, you just go to Tim Hortons. I mean, when I come out of my street up there by Tim Hortons, there's a drive-through there. And people are lined up on toll gate. They go right out to the intersection of Pitt and toll gate. And people realize, you know, they see a car coming down the way. They see a signal going on. They've got a signal on. And they almost bomb for that entrance of the Tim Hortons. And there's been accidents right there at the entrance of Tim Hortons because they want to be ahead of that other car. If I can just 3 more seconds, I will have my coffee. You know, it's amazing how people will drive fast down the road. Get that dog out of the way. Betty and I, we walk along the street there. I've told Betty, look at Betty. When we're around that intersection, we've got the dogs. We're going out there. We've got our minds on walking the dogs, but people have got their minds on coffee. So you watch. I mean, watch that driveway by Tim Hortons. And right now, they've got a big pile of snow there. And you kind of peek around the snow before you walk across the driveway there. And then you get to the intersection. They're going every which way. And people come up to an intersection. You could just see the drool on their lips wanting a Tim Hortons coffee. And I tell Betty, wait, don't step across. I don't know. I know we've got a green light. Wait. Because these people are coffee-minded. Get out of my way. I mean, that's the way the world is. That's the way, dog-eat-dog world out there. I mean, it's crazy, the me, myself, I syndrome. Now, this is the treasure we should not desire when Jesus talked about the treasure in our heart and laying up and all that. Because if we go to this feast and sit down at a table of honor but are asked to sit at a lower table, we are going down. Have you ever been asked to go to another seat that wasn't quite the seat that you wanted, or you were asked to, you know, get to, there's a seat up there, it's near the bathroom, yeah, you just sit over there. Yeah, I know that the door flings back and forth and all that, but that's your chair. But you thought you were sitting at the seat of honor. You know, that it's not a very good feeling to have. And then when you go from that, where you sat down at the table of honor and they say, excuse me, no, over there by the bathroom door, and you get up and everybody's watching me. Are you sure the bathroom door? Sure it's not over there? It's kind of like, you know, have you ever felt that where people are watching you? Where you're going through that circumstance? I mean,
And they not only watch you, but they label you, and they have their opinions about you, and they have their feelings about you. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to have that, would you? So Jesus states, the better thing to do, the thing that you should do, is that you sit in the most least likely place, if I can get that out of my mouth, least likely. So go ahead and sit by the bathroom. I know the door swings back and forth. You might get bumped every now and then when the waitress is coming out or whatever, when they're going through those doors. But sit in the least likely place at that feast, the lowest of the low. Go really back to the back of the back of the room and go to that very farthest away from the table of honor. And then if while you're sitting there and getting banged in the shoulder by that door and everything else, and they say, oh, no, you're not supposed to sit there. Come on with me. And as they take your hand and you know you're heading towards the head table, then you look around the people. Right? And they all look at you and say, oh, what'd they get? Who are they? And they begin to look at you and say, well, they must have something special. Maybe they're people that we should hang around with. Maybe we should get to know them. I don't know about you, but if I were asked to move up to a table of honor, that would be the coolest feeling. That'd be really something special to have in our life. I don't know about you, but that'd be a real cool feeling to have inside. Wouldn't that give you a blessing to be asked to, oh, no, you go up and sit with Queen Elizabeth. Yeah, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind that. You know, so this parable that Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, but you and I are reading in 2017 on January 8th, this parable is trying to change the way that you and I do life. You get it? Or are you asleep? The way that we do life. See, when we get to the place of what is a better way of doing life than the old man, the old nature, the pride will lose interest. The more we do something the right way, the old man dies. Right? The more we continue in the Word of God, the more we begin to say, I want to climb higher in this, the more we'll get up there, and the old man will be way down there. The old nature, the pride and everything else will be down there, no longer of any interest in our life. Because we've learned that what we should do is the best thing for us in our life. So that's what it's telling us through Jesus here, what we should do. I mean, if we always live for self, then it will always be in us. It will always be in the way. Everywhere we go, self will be in the way. Self to do this, self to want to do that, it will always be in the way. But when we learn the way of Jesus and what he shows us here, then we lose interest in that old way, the old life, and want the new life because it affects us a lot differently. Isn't it great when you came into Jesus? And behold, all things became new. You became a new creature in Lord Jesus Christ, thinking new, walking new, spiritually thinking everything new because everything became new in your life. I mean, you realize you had a change. When Jesus says to lay up treasures in heaven, it's not God's way of raising some funds for any church or anything else, but it's knowing that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is, that's what we follow, that's what we stampede after. I can hardly wait to get a soul saved this year in 2017. How about you? I would stampede for that, to get somebody to know Jesus Christ. I'll run to the greatest extent that I can run to get somebody to open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my treasure is in 2017. It's getting us to a higher level in the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart follows after our treasure, doesn't it? Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. So one of the ways we get our hearts on things above is by investing in the kingdom. Jesus finalized this thought in a very similar way, like John the Baptist talked about how I must decrease, he must increase. And then Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 11, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled. In other words, God's going to bring us down. Pride comes before a fall. God's going to bring us to that place where we'll be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Good opposite natures, aren't they? Did you notice that this, you know, and it's all about going higher in Jesus. I don't know, do you want to get higher in Jesus? I like going higher in Jesus. Another thing about what we should or shouldn't do, this whole parable has been so far about not doing like the Pharisees, religious leaders, or where they're having their feast, where they sit, where the attitude in the crowds. But now Jesus comes to this next part of this parable. When you give a dinner, when you give a supper,
He now gives direction of the motive of when we start sending out the invitations for our meal. Probably human nature, if we are operating in the world's ways, we would think of, well, who's our best friends? Well, let's invite our best friends. Oh, and of course, let's invite our family. Let's invite people who, we can't forget the pastor. Oh, yes. He will make a good scene in our party. You know, so let's get the pastor there. And let's, the board members. Let's make sure we get the board members at the very good big feast. Let's make sure, and who else? They've got lots of money. Let's invite them. Let's invite them to the feast. And you go over the invitation list, and isn't it amazing how we do things? Because we always want to do everything that's really nice and comfortable, and we know that when we get people into our house or wherever we're having this, that those people won't raise a ruckus. They're not going to stir anything up. That, you know, we're just going to have a good time. That's what we want, isn't it? We just want everything just to be nice and quiet and everything else. But Jesus changes the flow of the normal here, because he said that you shouldn't do that. This is what you should do, and he brings it to verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor. Invite the maimed. Invite the lame. Invite the blind. I don't think for a moment that Christ is putting down anybody for inviting their friends to any party or to invite the pastor or the board members. I don't think there's any put down in this place, but you know, if you're going to have a real deal here, it's going to be a big party and a good celebration. I think that Christ is really speaking about not only giving place to those who honor you, and you know yet when you honor them, they're only going to invite you back. You know, it's going back and forth. You invite them, they invite you, and so you invite those kinds of people. But this is saying that this is getting out of your zone of comfort. There's probably not a thing that person will ever do for you ever again that you just invited. Probably never get anything out of this. You know, if you invite somebody to church, you know, and they come in, you probably won't get anything out of it at all, because somebody else is going to lead them to the Lord. Maybe the pastor stands up here and leads them to the Lord. All you did was invite them to church. That's all you're going to get out of it. But isn't that worth it? Isn't it worth it to invite them? And so those on this list at a feast, they can't return any favors to you. They can do nothing in return for you. Nothing. They can't do a thing for you. But I want to let you know who can. God can. God is noticing and keeping the score and watching the things that happen and going higher like this has God's ways in place in our life and not out to please man. The days are going by rapidly, faster and faster. Everybody, anybody notice that besides me? I find that these days somebody must have oiled the days up and they're just kind of slipping by. I'm kind of happy when it slips by in wintertime. You can oil those up real good. You know, put some stones and what do you call those, ball bearings underneath it, so the days kind of just kind of roll along the wheels and everything else to get to that place. But I find that days are going by faster and faster. We are going to see Jesus soon. Every time I turn on the news, I feel, man, how much longer? I mean, you look at all the hot spots in our world right now, and I don't know if you were pro or con with President Obama, but he's sure doing some things in his nasty last days that seem to be interesting, especially with Israel in focus. But these days are pretty tough. I mean, and when we see Jesus, and it's going to be a great day. I mean, I keep thinking of that day of seeing Jesus. This is it. That's what I've been craving for. That's what I've been yearning for. That's what I've been preaching for. This is what I've been living for. This is what I breathe for, is to have people know Jesus, but to one day see Jesus. Now, as you go into, I hope you're still, your Bibles open in Luke chapter 14, because there's another interesting part to what Jesus talked here to the Pharisees. In the beginning of 15, if I could read these for you right now, from verses 15 down to verse 23, this is really interesting. It's kind of like, you know, have you ever heard that word addendum? Or have you ever received an email with an attachment? Well, this is the parable that Jesus told, but he's got an attachment to it, okay? So you've got to kind of click on the PDF attachment and open it up. This is speaking technology now, if you know what I'm talking about. This is what Jesus is getting here. This is his attachment. And it says in verse 15, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all had with one accord began to make excuses." Say those two words. Make excuses. Make excuses. "The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.'" Verse 19, "And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.'" Verse 20, "Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.'" Why? What do those women do to us? "So that the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in.'" And notice these words in verse 23, "That my house may be filled." That my house may be filled. Did you know that God has an intention here in this world is to save people? His desire, his will is that nobody should perish, that everybody should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his desire. "That my house may be filled." My house may be filled. That my house may be filled. This house has got a little bit of room yet. This house has got a little bit of room, but Jesus wants it filled. Amen? How about you? The New Living Translation says, "So that the house will be full." The New Jerusalem Bible says, "To make sure my house is full." There's a lot of obstacles in life, isn't there? Sometimes it's not easy to dig deeper in the Word of God. Sometimes it's not easy to climb higher in Jesus. It's a lot of work, this Christian life, isn't it? It doesn't come easy. It's a lot of hard work. You know, I was listening the other day on CHRI. Anybody ever listen to CHRI, the radio station from Ottawa? There was a guy on there by the name of Michael W. Smith. Anybody ever heard of this guy? I read that he was born in 1957. So if that's the case, he would be, in this year of 2017, 60 years old. Doesn't look like it in his picture, and that's kind of one of the latest pictures. I don't know if he's got the photo makeup and all that on or touch up in the photo. I don't know, but he's 60 years old this year. Now, he's written a lot of songs for us. And on this program on CHRI, you'll hear it every now and then if you're a regular listener to CHRI. It's called Keeping the Faith. And I like the title because there just tells you got to keep the faith. Whatever comes in our life, you got to keep the faith. And they always bring people on there and interview them. Doesn't matter who they are, they bring them on. And Michael W. Smith was on there last week, and I listened to it. And he's been around for quite a few years. He's written a lot of good songs. And we're going to be singing a song in just a few moments called "Above All." Above all powers, above all thrones. You've heard that? And I particularly like the chorus when it gets to it. "Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me above all." He wrote the song, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down." Written a lot of our songs that we sing. Another one is Agnus Dei. I never got that title. It must be Latin or something. I don't know. Do you know what it is, John? No? Do you know what it is, Miles? Agnus Dei? Latin or something, I don't know, but every time I see that, you know, I think, yeah, that's a cool song. just talks about the holiness of God and Agnes Dii. But he's written songs, Friends Are Friends Forever. You ever heard that one? And anyway, back in 1996, we were at General Conference in the city of Toronto, and our kids were teenagers at that time. And of course, when you go to General Conference, the people who are in charge, they try to make sure when families come in that they get everything to be comfortable for the families. And so while the pastors are there with their wives and they go to all the meetings and all the stuff where you fall asleep in the meetings, right, Pierre? And you go in there. But they have, hey, kids, come on out of the meeting. We're going to take you. And the small kids would go out and they'll do something crazy. And then they take the teenagers out as well. They do something for them. But anyway, we were there in the summer of 1996. And Kingdom Bound was on at that time. And I said, kids, you want to go? I mean, you want to stick around here in these dull, dull meetings? They said, no. So I said, hey, I'll pay your way to go to Kingdom Bound for the day. They're going to take all the youth over there from Toronto. So they said, cool. And so they all got on a bus and went over. And at Kingdom Bound, they have many people of the Christian world, people who sing and offer their songs. Anyway, they came back late that night, and we were waiting for them in the hotel room, and the kids came in. And I said, so how was Kingdom Bound? I'd never been to Kingdom Bound. I love going to Kingdom Bound. In fact, we're already booked for this year again. I love going there. But anyway, the kids said, oh, it was kind of nasty. I'm thinking, Christian, Kingdom Bound, nasty? And they said, yeah, well, they get up on the stage and these people come out and they sing their latest songs and all that. And I said, so what happened to make it nasty? And they said, well, there's a guy there by the name of Michael W. Smith. And while he was up on the stage, people were taking water bottles and throwing them at him and saying, man, you suck. We don't like your music. And they're just throwing water bottles at him and everything else. And I said, are you sure? This happened at a Christian concert? I mean, if you go to Kingdom Bound right now, they're very tight on security, and you can't get anywhere near the platform. But as I listened to this, it was, I mean, when the kids told me that, it was crazy. Like, you know, Christians throwing water bottles at some guy standing up on the platform singing songs, singing his heart out. And then I listened to this program this week, Keeping the Faith, listening to Michael W. Smith, who will be turning 60 this year. And he kind of gave a little bit of a background of where he's been over his years. And you know, everything that you and I do in life, not everybody's going to appreciate it, right? How many know that you can please some of the people some of the time, you can please some of the people all of the time, but you can't please all of the people all the time? I've found that as a pastor. I've found that many, many times. But Michael W. Smith was talking about, he said, people yell out at his concerts nasty things. They said, you man, that's not our style of music. You're all washed up and you're this and that. He says, you know, when you walk away from that and you write songs for Jesus. You're doing the best you can for Jesus. And somebody gets nasty by throwing a water bottle at you, shouting remarks at you that are terrible. And the things that he's gone through over the years. And he said, you know, the worst part of it all wasn't what they did. It's when I walked off the platform and I thought, I'll never come back there again. If I can ever get even with them, I will do that. I'll write a song about this, and I'll tell them how nasty people are. And he started going through all these things, and he realized that, you know what? When I start thinking like that, I'm not going higher. I'm not going higher. He said, I realized in my career that my attitude stunk. My attitude was going nowhere. If this is what I thought, you know, how could I write songs? How could I sing songs for Jesus, stand up there with this in my heart? He said, I had to realize that I needed to do something differently, things I should or shouldn't do, like every one of us has to face every day of our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the old man always getting in the way. I want to start climbing higher. I want to start going up in Jesus. I want to know what He wants me to do. I want to get rid of bad attitudes, bad mindset, bad things that are holding me back. And even though somebody may not like things that I do, or somebody may not like, appreciate the things, a message I preach, or this nice vest I have just bought at the Tip Top Tailors. I said, man, look at the pastor up there. Oh, by the way, here's a tip for the guys. Tip, okay? Tip Top Tailors is going out of business at the mall at the end of the month. Ladies, you want your guys to dress nice? You say, honey, let's go to Tip Top Tailors, okay? Take your men to Tip Top Tailors. The ties, which are regularly $55, are on for $4.99. $4.99. The vest, $80-some dollars, I got it for $9.99. The dress shirts, regularly $80-$90, got them for $9.99. You want to get your guy looking good, ladies? Here's your shot at it. You want to go higher? Do it. Amen? But you know, the things we should or shouldn't do, we're facing them every day of our life. Would the worship team come, please? I don't know about you, but Michael W. Smith wrote that song. And as I read the chorus, crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. So today, who's up for going higher? Now, I don't want you to climb this ladder, but I think it's a good idea that maybe we come to an altar this morning and say, God, I want to go higher. I need to do the things that I should be doing and stop doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. But I want to go higher in God. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, here we are on January 8th, 2017. It's remarkable that, God, here we are, breathing, living, walking. We've got this life to live for you. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you that you always point out, even though you address some Pharisees, Lord, I think that somehow in there was us. That sometimes we want to be first. We want to do things the best way that we can in the flesh. God, forgive us. Help us to humble ourselves, and you will exalt us. Help us to go down, like John the Baptist said, to decrease. Then you will increase. God, this year I pray 2017 would be a year. 2016 was digging deeper. And if we dug deeper, we're ready to go higher. Lord, we're ready to go higher in your love. Our citizenship is not of this world. It's of a place we're longing to be in. So we're working towards that. We're looking forward towards that. God, help us today to go higher in you. To climb higher in you, to set our mind on things above, not on this earth, not on things around us, but set our heart, our mind, our hopes, our dreams, everything on you, higher, to elevate it. It's like when you said at that very parable, let me take you higher. Let me take you to a better place. Let me take you to a room which I think that you would really approve of. Let me take you to a place. So praise God. Who would come this morning with a hungry heart? Who would come to this altar around, just stand around and worship God for a few moments? Who would come to this altar this morning and say, 2017, Lord, let me go higher. Let me go higher. Come on, church, this is your invitation. I'm not going to say it two or three times. I'm just asking you right now, who wants to go higher? If you have a desire that you want to go higher, you want to go so far up in the Lord Jesus Christ this year that you're going to come to this altar and you're just going to cry out your heart. You're going to start saying, God, I want to start climbing that spiritual ladder. I want to start going where you want me to be. I want to start going in the Spirit where you want me to be. I want to start hearing the voice of the Spirit. I want to get victory this year. And the only way I'm going to do that is to climb higher in Jesus. So as we begin to sing this song, above all, set your mind on things above, Not about the bills you haven't paid or things that are going on in your life or the situation in your workplace that you don't know what's going to happen because it's too tough to handle. Just give it to Jesus because you are climbing higher and he's going to look after it all because he takes note of things. He's watching everything. That's the way he is. He knows what's going on. In fact, he knows what you need of before you even need it. He's a good God. So let's sing this song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began.
It's your word, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all
treasures of this earth. I want to be above that.
There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground.
You took the fall, just for me.
And I thought of me
like a rose. Oh, like a rose trampled on the ground. Jesus died on the cross for you and I, so that you and I could climb the ladder of spirituality and get to know him better and better and better and better and better, to go higher in Jesus. It's kind of like, you know, the old saying, you're so earthly minded that you're no spiritual good, heavenly good. I think it's just the opposite. When we begin to climb higher and higher in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to be earthly good. I want to be heavenly good for the King Jesus. Amen. So come on. Ask Jesus to take you higher this morning. Ask him, ask him, ask him. Jesus, would you help me? Show me, teach me. Just like the disciples said, increase our faith. Show me how I can climb higher. Show me what I can do to find that depth of you, Lord God. Show me, take me to those places. Give me, invest in my life, Lord God, so that I can invest in others. God, show me the walk that you want me to have. Show me and ordain my steps, Lord God, because the righteous steps are ordained of the Lord. God, show us, take us, lead us. Infiltrate our hearts with your love, Lord God, that we could go higher in you. Jesus' name, hallelujah. God, that this year, fill the house, fill the house, fill the house. Jesus, hallelujah. Above all powers,
above all kings,
Jesus.
Above all
hallelujah.
Nature and all created. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man.
All the ways of man. Jesus.
You were here before the world began.
Again, hallelujah.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Treasures of the earth. rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me among rows.
If I
laid behind the stone, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and you thought of me above all.
You took the fall.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thought of me.
Did you know the interesting thing about this ladder? It can get me up to higher places. If I wanted to reach the ceiling, I can reach up and touch the ceiling. But you know what? If I stand here all day long and look at the ladder and never climb it, it doesn't do me much good. And Jesus has given us all those things in our life that we should shouldn't do, the best things for us, the best things for the kingdom of God. And if all we do is say, that's nice, I like that ladder, it could probably take us somewhere. Maybe it took somebody else somewhere, but God is saying, look it, this ladder is for you. It's up to you to climb the ladder. So do you want to go higher in 2017? Do you want to go higher in 2017? Do you want to go higher in 2017 in Jesus? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for taking note of us in our lives, that we're never out of your sight. Father, we appreciate the love that you've bestowed upon us through your Son, Jesus. God, what an immense love. It's a love that we cannot comprehend, that somebody would die on our behalf. But that is exactly how much you loved us. That Jesus was trampled like a rose, like a beautiful rose that was thrown on a road, and all of a sudden everybody started trampling on it. God, he came just for that purpose, to save us from all the trampling of this world, from all the ways of this world and all the things of this world, to learn a better way, to become holy like God, to learn to know and to live like Jesus. God, today as we go from this place, let us set our mind on things above. This year of 2017, set our mind on things that are above. Take our minds off this world and off the things of this world that so easily entrap us and snare us. And let us set them on our Lord Jesus Christ. Set them on things above. Set them on the things where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, whoever forever intercedes on our behalf. Father, get our eyes off this world. And get our eyes on you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And we know that when we do that, victories will come in our lives. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Thank you, God. Go with us. Love through us. Give us a great week. And God, at the beginning of this year, may we see this unfold before our eyes, that we just see the kingdom of God unfolding and people coming to Jesus, this church, this room being filled for the glory of God. Grant it, Lord. That's my prayer. And I pray that everyone begins to pray that this year, that the house may be filled. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.